From scratch. Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins, and
my name is a rather weary travelling Nigel Payne.
You've got no excuses, Nigel. What's 30 hours on an aeroplane? Come on. If I was you, I'd probably be asleep by now, but you are an experienced traveller and you're obviously made of stronger stuff than I. So welcome back to the UK.
Thank you very much.
This week we've had Learning Live in central London.
Yes, which I missed.
Yeah, so and we said prior to coming on air, what are we going to talk about? And you said, well, what about Learning Live?
That's true. And I'll be as useful talking about that as if I were trying to ride a chocolate bicycle, Martin. So I think a large amount of responsibility for this will be down to you, because you were there. You were featured. You were right. You've written a report already.
I won't shirk my responsibility. You can ask the questions then.
Excellent. Okay. What was different this year in Learning Live compared to many, many other years that I've attended?
It was in a different venue, so physically in a different space. So it was, it was bigger. There were more people, more delegates, more vendors. And the format, I think, remains the same. It's a sort of mix of workshops, panel debates, keynotes. And I think that works well. And the show, if you like, starts with the LPI sharing what the top five challenges are as asked of the delegates. And I know that the LPI works hard to tailor the programme around those challenges. In some senses, it's a bigger event, but I think that what changes is really what's on the agenda.
Yes.
For L&D.
So what are the challenges, Martin? Can you remember the five challenges?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that. When I said that, I really walked into that rabbit hole, didn't I? So I know that the top one was learning culture. And I'm just about to have a quick...
Well, that's very interesting, given I've written a book about it.
I know a person that knows something about that. So number one was creating a learning culture. Number two was developing the workforce of the future. Number three was digital transformation and digital learning. Four, leadership and management development. And five was self-directed learning. The agenda was really kind of based around those five themes.
Highlights for us.
My highlight is the one thing I would say that I think is really on the minds of everyone. And it seemed to come through quite strongly. And maybe it's something to do with the culture piece. But it was to do with the shift of focus of the learning strategy, basically having the learner or employees at its heart, rather than, looking at the business agenda and the business saying, this is what we need people to know and do. It's actually that shift to what is it that we need to do to support our employees to do a better job or to understand their development path in the organisation. Now, that's obviously lots of organisations and L&D is built on doing that to some extent, but it is actually a very different approach if you were to put the user at the heart of the service that you are designing and delivering. And I thought a good example of that was EDF Energy have recently appointed a learning culture manager. And I thought that was interesting, and that was elaborated on. And what that meant was basically appointing someone to go around the business and find out exactly how people learn. And that's exactly what they do and have done. And from that spawned lots of kind of focus groups to really understand what is going on out there. And that's really helped shape their learning strategy. And of course, what happens there is that you lift the lid on the way people are operating in their roles. So EDF Energy, they were talking about the fact that they discovered a cohort of people, they're just sharing stuff on WhatsApp. And this is, for me, the reality, and this is this shift is really exemplified by that, because you can just imagine that L&D traditionally might be asked to provide some training for that group of people on a certain topic, which gets built potentially at quite a lot of cost. And then you find that these people are just quite happily sharing
it,
in a WhatsApp group. And I think that just describes the shift, really. And I thought it was interesting that they've actually got that kind of role explicitly to go and understand what's going on. It's a big organisation. Obviously, there are lots of employees in lots of different parts of the business, and they have very different types of parts of that business. As an energy company that's dealing with nuclear, and so it would have centralised services, and, you know, so it's really diverse and a big mix of job types and the way that work is done. For me, that was a really big element to this 2 days. And yes, a lot of the conversation and quite a few of the sessions were effectively about that. You know, you're sort of designing out from what your employees need in order to do their job more effectively, or in order to move their career on within the organization.
Yes. Tell us one thing that you learnt during those 2 days that maybe surprised you, or...
I really liked the fact that there are lots of practitioners who are trying to do things differently.
Yeah.
And they're beginning to share that. And there's a dearth of that in this industry. It's really hard to know what people are doing differently that might be having a positive impact. And you begin to see some of that now. And I just really hope we get lots more of that in the future.
Yes. So disruption is the name of the game. And we should end on that fantastic, powerful word. Martin, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. From scratch.